Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know, like he sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome
Hello.
To the worst idea of all time. Fuck.
You go.
All right. It's your old mate Timbo here, back with Guy Guy. It's been about 7.5 hours since last we spoke, and I'll tell you what, Guy, not enough time between drinks for me seeing Sex in the City. That is for sure. I tested
That's
this
right.
hypothesis, and the hypothesis was correct. It's not enough time.
Yeah, an incredible experiment you run. Literally the last thing you did before you laid your weary head on your pillow and the first thing you did when you got out of bed.
No good. I didn't even get out of bed. I woke up when Zoe got up at like 7 a.m. and it was after my weary little head resting on the pillow at about 1 a.m. last night after talking to you from a watch. Yes, it's a grim scene. Hey, do me a favor, mate, because it's going to tick me off. We're doing a video call. Can you make your head block the window? Because otherwise the exposure keeps adjusting from your phone. That's so good. That's going to give you a sore back.
For those of you listening along at home and imagining what we're respectively getting, your camera keeps sort of refocusing on you. So perfect here, Tim. Yeah. I can't believe you sullied your marital bed with this. I can understand the charms and temptations of watching the film in bed, but it's something I've had to swear off doing because it just sort of it disrespects the bed. You know, this is to be treated like a job to be done in an office.
You're right, but I was just so tired. There's no way. Because I take quite a long time to wake up in the mornings, and if I can occupy some of that warming up time with burning through a bit of the movie as well, you better believe I'm doing both those things at once. It's too much of a shock to the system otherwise.
Who pissed you off the most?
Miranda.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because of her treatment of Steve?
Mainly, yeah. I just think she was being, I mean, obviously the movie slants this, but she's being so hypocritical with her treatment of Carrie right when she's in the midst of cold-shouldering Steve. Steve fucked up. He knows he fucked up. He was contrite. He came to her with the truth. He was so sorry. You know, he wanted to work on this thing. I'll bet it was his idea to get them into marriage counselling, which we see them pursue later on in the movie. I'll bet he floated that early and she said, fuck you. And then she came round to it, and now it's like her idea.
I don't know about all that, but I agree. Steve is a model citizen, in essence. I think particularly, he lays the scaffolding down for how to apologize for a mistake. He finds a moment, you know, it's not comfortable for anyone. He owns up. He owns his behavior. He apologizes. As you said, he's very contrite. He's humiliated. You can see it's tearing him up. Miranda is so skeptical of this man she otherwise loves entirely. Mm. And, you know, thankfully I've never been in this situation. I don't know if you have, Tim, but I can see where your frustration came from. I actually, you know, aside from that, quite enjoyed Miranda this week. I've got a
real
soft spot for Miranda.
Surprises me because you two are so polar opposite in your personality types.
I identify as Miranda at the moment.
Really? Well, Let's unpack that guy. What's going on with you that you identify with Miranda at the moment?
A few fun quips. A few... I think it's sort of our main bulky introduction, not the sort of overview montage at the top, but when we first see Carrie, Charlotte and Miranda going to meet... who are they going to meet? They're going to meet Samantha on the way to the auction. And Carrie's bragging about her apartment. Miranda's entire vibe, her dress, I like everything about it. So there's a combination of, I think, a hangover from, you know, identifying her as my favorite character through season two of the podcast, and then seeing this outfit and being like, yeah, Miranda's going to get some today. You know, and then it's not like anyone else is putting forward a very strong case for me to say, yeah, I'm with you.
What about Samantha? You strike me as a total Samantha. You're fun-loving. You're out there. You're a joy to be around. You know, you don't take life too seriously. You seize opportunities as they arrive. You're a total Samantha. Plus, you love cock.
Yeah, it's true. It doesn't surprise me that you've typecast me as a Samantha. And, you know, some weeks, that's who I want to be. That's how I feel. But right now, it's not for you to say, my friend, I am a Miranda. Who are you? I'm Miranda. Who the fuck are you?
That's a t-shirt. If I can't handle you, you're Miranda-ist. I don't deserve you. You're Samantha-ic.
Yeah. And who are you?
Who am I? Hard to say. Right now, I feel like maybe a bit of a Charlotte. The day's getting away on me. Like I'm... I'm Charlotte from the second movie, actually. Do you know... Can I say this? Do you know how I really... what do you call it? Like nailing your colours to the flag or something? Who I really just... Superb. Runkle.
Oh.
A.K.A. Harry. He's so good in this movie, man. He pops up three times.
Yeah.
And every time, it's a joy.
I want your top three Runkle moments in descending order, please.
His attempt to defend Big when they're at the hospital. This is a man who's just welcoming his first biological born into the world. So there's a lot going on for him. But he has prioritized both the sort of emotions and the strength of friendship that he has with Carrie's partner, Big, but also the love that he has for Carrie, I think, carries through in this magnanimous moment where he's trying to get those two crazy kids together again after they've, sort of throwing it all away because of the botched wedding. That's pretty great. I love when Charlotte and he are making love in the bed, and it's during all the turmoil, and Charlotte just looks at him and she just says, "Thank you for being you," and he just gives that little smile. It's just like, yeah, buddy, fucking Harry's nailing it. And now this new lost footage, the lost tapes of seeing him as Uncle Fester at Halloween, has given a whole nother fun-loving dimension to this father of the year, husband of the century figure that I've come to love so well.
It's true. His nose is clean in both films. Like, the closest he comes to putting a foot wrong is Charlotte's paranoia that he's... palling around with the Irish nanny in SATC 2.
My Runkle highlight. She's gay.
Yeah, that's right. In the same way, if anyone ever worried that Kevin Spacey is a monster, you actually don't need to worry about that because he's gay. My Runkle highlight in this watch, and it was actually my shining light, if I could say so myself, is... I can't remember if we've talked about this or not, but some of us is... ADR, you could almost call it ASMR because of how satisfying it is, when he's feeding the dog at the breakfast table early
yes.
on.
Yes, yes.
And he quietly says to the dog, "Don't tell anyone." And it's amazing because he's feeding the dog. I love giving the dog a little... And, you know, dog owners are going to be scolding me as they listen along right now. I love giving the dog a little treat. And I love the idea, you know, I just love the playful nature that he's suggesting this dog is capable of sort of communicating what's happened.
So let's round it off.
I guess the body language it is.
Those three moments I mentioned plus the one you've got, I think the only other time he's in the film is that great little bit, I think, again, possibly 80-yard, of dialogue at the engagement dinner where he says, it's nothing quite like an illegal Cuban cigar. Just like, yeah, man, live in your bliss, Runkle, you fucking champ. Voice your joy.
Yeah, it is nice. It's nice that he says illegal. Like,
yeah.
You can just say Cuban cigar, Runkle.
Nah, man. He's got to drive it home because he's got all those rich New York financiers within earshot. He's got to throw that big illegal dick of his around. And I love it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad that he brought you so much joy in what I can imagine was a very trying morning.
He's doing a lot for the tribe, I think, because he's the only visibly Jewish person in this film, so far as I know.
It's true. Charlotte's a converted Jew, proudly.
Yeah, that's true.
Charlotte is so she's so skeptical of other cultures. In Abu Dhabi, she goes by Charlotte York because it's the Middle East, and then in Mexico, she refuses, you know, to the bemusement of her friends and eventually her downfall, to eat any of the delicious Mexican food.
No, she instead resorting to her Poughkeepsie pudding pots.
Chocolate pudding from Poughkeepsie, a place I've been. It's upstate New York. It seems so unlikely to me that they would export chocolate pudding to Mexico. I mean, I might be misinformed, but this does not strike me as a place that specializes in, I don't know, foodstuffs. But
do you reckon they paid? Is that a bit of product placement from Poughkeepsie?
No.
How do you say it? I'm saying it wrong.
I called it Poughkeepsie, but they say Poughkeepsie. And I think that the only reason that they identify the pudding as being from there is so that Carrie can run one of her classic sort of half pun, half portmanteaus where she says, and Charlotte did it, she's Poughkeepsie'd her pants.
Yeah.
Speaking of Carrie.
It's a good line.
Do you know what I would love to see, Tim?
What's that?
I would love to see this movie edited down to have no cinematic score, so the soundtrack remains, but all of the sort of emotional heavy lifting music is taken out, and also all of Carrie's voiceover.
Oh, no narration.
No narration, no music doing the heavy lifting. So, I mean, we would be left with a sprawling mess.
It would be at sea. We'd be all at sea with a 2.5 hour flick that you're just not sure what to feel, what you're supposed to feel. Because there's a lot of bits. That music's very instructive. I know that that's true of a lot of movies. What was the bit? Oh, it's the best bit of scoring in the film for my money is New Year's. La Croix is back, ladies and gentlemen. This podcast brought to you by La Croix. It tastes like water that had some stuff in it 8 cycles of the bottle ago. Refreshing, and with a hint of something that I can't put my finger on. That looks like it's probably a peach flavor guy. Am I right?
Tim, it's more pamplemousse.
Ah. Swing and a miss from Timbo. Anyway, New Year's, when they're going to the... It's not going to the auction. Oh, the fashion show. And it's like a whole uplifting score. We've just been through a lot of down in the dumps. Some stuff with Carrie with the breakup, and it's just a nice moment of revival and new life. It's like, all right, shake it off. That was last year, babies. Let's come get some. We're in New York.
Yeah.
And then we get our great Ferris Murder! Ladies.
Murder! Sounds like a character from was it Age of Empires? What's that character who goes, work, work. More work.
That's an orc from Warcraft 3. Didn't realize that you played.
Murder. No, an old housemate in university played. And work, he used to walk. Whenever he'd do dishes, he'd walk into the kitchen and he'd go, work, work.
Was that
more
Jono?
Work? No, it was a guy called Rob. Good guy, actually.
Oh, good on you, Rob. Shout out to you. It was a good bit of scoring, is what it was. I was trying to say. I don't know how there's probably a way to do it, Guy, because do you remember how we did it with the other movies, and someone had just got like the 5.1 and removed a couple speakers from it, because most of the music was on like the left and right, but the dialogue was on everything. So we could...
Now, Tim, you know full well, I remember the technical specs on how someone executed that.
Someone did that for us, man. We have the best people.
It was a different time.
The best people guy.
Yeah. Don't worry, we've got our best people on it. So long as we're talking about around that New Year's scene, first of all, it's interesting the scenes that you learn to hate, or that like they just creep up on you, and week by week you're like, oh, this is really getting me. Last screening, it was actually the wedding dress montage where she's trying on all the dresses for that Vogue shoot. That just drove me insane.
So fucking long.
But
Jesus,
but
that drags.
This week, it's all of the action around Auld Lang Syne, which is New Year's Eve.
Oh, you know, that, yeah.
Goes on and on for about another 30 minutes.
Oh, you deserve a standing O for that. What a rendition. You got some good pipes on you, Monty. I'll tell you that.
Thank you. But what caught me, even like, so there was all of that. And then you get, Carrie and Miranda, having their, bringing in New Year's together. And they're sitting there having a laugh, eating the Chinese food that...
having a laugh.
Miranda ordered about 2 hours ago, maybe longer. Mm. And they're hoeing into some dumplings, and all I can think is those guys are so far past their prime.
Chinese, not the woman.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
The food, not the people.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know what they're doing, if it's continuity or consistency, but all I can think is, you got to put that. I mean, because they're eating them out of the same containers, which says they haven't done anything to salvage them or to reinvigorate them. You got to put them in the frying pan. If they were boiled, maybe you put them in the microwave. I always get fried dumplings, so I always, if I'm gonna refrigerate them and cook them again, they're going straight in the pan. I'll tell you what, I don't let them sit for 3 hours, then throw them back like they're still enjoyable. Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong on this.
The whole mood that we're leaning into is that, you know, they're sort of at their wits' end. They're in that kind of a zone where it's, sleep until 11, bloody chuck a bit of pizza in the microwave from the night before and call it breakfast sort of a vibe. So they're leaning heavily into that. Room temperature old Chinese. Is there anything that more exemplifies I have lost in love than that meal? Probably not on New Year's. It's pretty indicting meal for New Year's, that's for sure.
Yeah, to be fair, while Auld Lang Syne does go on too long, it does cast a long and sort of melancholy shadow over that meal, alongside the fact that, as you've stated, they're eating at room temperature.
You know what else it does? It sets up the second movie, because that, of course, is the first kiss between Stanford and Anthony.
Something we've...
Setting up entire premise for the second film.
Pretty sloppily as well. Like,
it occurred to me that they can't do Sex and the City movies without a wedding. So I was trying to guess who would get married in the third one. Who do you reckon? I reckon Sam.
No, she's not getting married. Sam and Dickbot. No.
Yes, please. That is a marriage forged straight in the fires of hell, but it is a powerful union.
If Samantha can't handle being in a relationship with a hard-working and busy actor because it doesn't mean that there's enough focus on her, I struggle to imagine that she'd be interested in starting a marriage with a robotic overlord hell-bent on world, nay, galactic domination.
Yeah, but I think she'd see the greater good. With Smith Garrett, she's working hard on his career just to further him, but her supporting and loving an artificial intelligence developed by the... Japanese. Thank you. To retaliate for Pearl Harbor. I mean, that's the greater good kind of thing. You know, there's a wider picture there than just one person's career.
I'll ask you this as a sidebar. Of all of the married couples that we're dealing with, so we've got Runkle and Charlotte, Steve and Miranda, Carrie and Big, and Stanford and Anthony, who's the happiest right now?
I actually reckon Carrie and Big.
Wow.
Yeah. When you say right now, you like, so it's been a few years since both movies. It's yep. Now 2018. Yeah, I reckon Carrie and Big have settled into a good little zone. And they don't have any kids. And I think that takes a lot of pressure off. You know, Runkle and Charlotte are happy, but it's a different kind of happiness. It's that very exhausted kind of happiness when you're raising two girls. Which I know so much about from my experience raising two daughters.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. I always forget that you've got two Rugrats.
Yeah.
I've got four Rugrats myself.
Not so rug anymore.
Put that pot down, Mr. Five. Stop teasing your sister. Sorry, they're just running around out there.
You got to love them, though, don't you?
Oh, you simply must.
Hey, Guy, what's the funniest thing your kids have done in the last week?
Mr. 19, he got into the Crayolas, and he's written what he calls his manifesto on the hallway wall, and it's just adorable. A lot of it is admittedly in Polish, so I can only make out every sort of third word, but
gotcha.
His handwriting is a mess. He takes after his mother in that regard, I suppose.
General tenor? What's the vibe you get from the manifesto? I know you can't read all of it word for word, but you get a mood.
What's the middle ground between confident and aggressive?
Conf-aggressive?
Yeah, well, certainly it's scary, but you know, we just have to laugh along because if you don't if you don't laugh, Tim, you'll cry. But he's a real handful.
Mr. 19. What a trip, eh?
Regret having him as 10-year-olds? I think yes.
Sorry?
I think we
What'd
do.
What'd you say? Do we regret?
My wife and I having our son, Mr. 19, as 10-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. That's never going to end well.
Nah. I think we were too young to know what we were getting ourselves in for. And our parents told us as much, but we were just a couple of crazy kids in love. We weren't going to listen to them.
God, having an abortion at 10 is pretty sad, though, isn't it?
The whole thing's quite sad. Jesus Christ. I mean, as soon as you get into the actual biological reality of this hypothetical, Tim, we're in a real fucking dicey spot. So the fact you even broached that sort of blows the lid on the entire operation.
My apologies. It's a good thing you let me get this coffee. I was already running a bit late. We had a scheduled time. I was running a little bit late just because I started watching at 10 after 7 rather than 7 on the dot. But the guy generously let me make a coffee, which has done a world of good for me. But every now and then, the man behind the curtain pokes his ugly little head out, makes bad comments on the podcast.
I don't think you made a bad comment. I think your brain was asking questions about what we were talking about, and you put one out loud, and I think that's totally fair enough. I mean, that is the very basis of conversations and podcasts.
My shining light? So glad you asked. It's the mariachi band.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. I got so much joy out of them this watch. The song that's first playing when they come to Mexico to the resort, here's a bloody trick for young players. It's the same song that they play later. And I just wish we could stay in the song for longer. Because it's like, I think it's celebrating America and Mexico. I'm only hearing
finally.
Right. The odd lyric I'm hearing is like, Viva Mexico, Viva Americano, da 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 da. It's real good. It's a lot better than that I just belted into the mic.
No, that's pretty good. I'm so glad you said, because I'll look forward to that next watch, because that was a moment when I wrote down that when they were out for dinner in the Mexican restaurant, the movie was really lagging for me then. I was like, oh, good Lord. There's so much has gone by, and there's so much still to go through. Those are the moments I find it really frustrating. It's interesting you say they'd be the happiest now, Carrie and Big, because it's moments like that where I find it really frustrating that I'm like, I have to sit here and watch these two imbeciles get back together.
You really don't have any faith in them, do you?
I really don't. In fact, I thought that the scene that comes earlier when Big sort of jilts Carrie at the wedding, and he's in the car, and he goes, "What the fuck am I doing?" Which is actually a very well delivered line by the great Reverend Chris Noeth. Turns the car around, Carrie's driving past, they catch each other's eyes, her car stops. I was thinking as I was watching that, I was like, whoa, I would actually love to be street side for a bit of conflict like this. You know, no immediate sort of physical danger to the main parties or any bystanders involved, genuine emotion, really heavy stuff. And I was like, how would I react? How would I feel? And I was watching in the background as all of the extras and supporting actors, and I assume they're all actors. I mean, you'd imagine, you know, this is a big budget film. They'd shut down a street and get a bunch
of... You close a street for that.
Everyone brings their A game. Not a hair out of place. Not a mistimed sort of look of shock or surprise. I really liked that.
Do you know who really keeps the ball in the air with that scene as well? And this was actually a close contender for my shining light this week. It's Charlotte's raw fury.
She is scary, huh?
Yeah, she's like a... do you know what it is? She's channeling the emotion of a mother bear when the cub is in danger.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to make myself as terrifying as possible to ward off this enemy from my youngster as she wards Carrie back into the car. It's a very touching moment of friendship. Yeah,
she's even because also she knows how to be frustrated by Big. Quite fair, Charlotte, for all of her her sort of prejudice and plain intellect. She's got a level head on her shoulders. And I actually, because when she confronts Big, you know, she's got her line ready to be angry at him all over again, saying, "I rue the day you were born." Is that right?
Yeah,
She does say outside a restaurant.
I curse the day you're born.
Outside a restaurant called Lumi. And I was inspired to look up Lumi on Google Maps. For those of you listening along, you want to eat as the gals ate. It's at 963 Lexington Ave, just sort of below the Upper East Side, between the village and the Upper East Side. And a meager 3.5 stars on the Google review. You know, when you look up a place on Google Maps, they tell you what they reckon of it. Cozy, casual, for dinner. Only 6 reviews, varying between 3 and 4 stars. Pleasant neighborhood. On the corner in an old townhouse. Has 2 levels with a winding staircase. Food is good, though not outstanding. Good for a reliable meal. And that's from Key NJ, who's given 171 reviews. So their opinion is to be taken seriously.
Is it the kind of establishment do you think you could record a episode in? Because that'd be a hell of a location for us to get Guy Montgomery coming to us live from.
I'm inside the restaurant now as I look through their photos. Is that outdoor dining? Yeah, there is. Look, it's not outside the realm of possibility, Tim, and it would have to be done pretty soon, you know, because of the weather. I'll look into it.
Fantastic. Good stuff, mate. Well, look, I don't know. Other bits of business. I'm pretty tired, man.
That's okay. You don't need to. We don't need to stick around forever. Is there anything else that stood out to you or antagonized you in a way that I would find amusing? Specifically, what bothered you?
What did I not like? Oh, there was something I did like. Isn't it?
Right.
I guess a positive, docile frame of mind. It's when Big reveals that he actually has invited the girls to the City Hall wedding right at the very end when they actually get hitched. And when he swings the doors open and they are all excited to see Carrie, he bites his tongue in a kind of playful, happy manner. Made me smile. Liked it. It was good. A good little expression.
I like that. I actually... there's a moment of Big's. I didn't write it down, sadly, but there's a moment of Big's acting I also really enjoyed.
How much acting has Chris Noth done?
How much acting has he done?
Outside of Big. Does he...
He's in a cop show or something.
Oh, he is too. Like a, yeah.
He's in like a B-grade cop show. I want to ask you a question, because in one of the scenes when Big and Carrie are in bed, and she gets into bed wearing a clutch of pearls, and she's got her library book, and he's reading the newspaper, and she steals his glasses, and he's wearing open top, PJ top, green silk by the looks, and matching bottoms. What do you think of full body PJs?
On a man or a woman?
For you, for anyone.
You know, I've really evolved my view about PJs, and I don't really rate them for adults anymore. I realize that I do exist in a pretty tropical climate, though, so even in the clutch of winter here in Auckland, it only goes down to about 9 degrees during the day minimum, and that's centigrade. For you Fahrenheit hangers-on, I don't
for
even know
for my Fahrenheads.
40? Something. At any rate, I don't really like pajamas on grown-ups. I think they're very cute on little kids. But, you know, when I became a man, I had to put away childish things.
Including, so did you used to wear satin boxer shorts?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah.
You used to sleep in those?
I imagine so. They're so bad, aren't they? Because they're, like, they're synthetic. Not breathable. Don't know why we're making them.
Because they look...
Why do we give...
You print teenagers, cool stuff on them.
Yeah, I get, it was Tasmanian Devil, wasn't it? There was the ticket.
Yeah, I had a pair with a game of cricket happening on them.
That's good. That's a bit of you.
And the cricket bat was kind of close to where I could get my little prepubescent penis. And so if I wanted to make myself laugh, I could sort of just do a gentle thrust... and it would look like the batsman was playing a cover drive. And I can assure you that really kept me entertained.
I bet it did. What was the last age at which you owned Saturn boxes?
I think about 28.
Yeah, I think I had a pair lingering around when I was 20, about 24, still in rotation. Maybe 25, still in rotation. And my girlfriend at the time made a comment. She was kind of horrified that I had them. So that was the
I was actually just joshing you, man. I've been out of those things for years.
Yeah, I know you were joshing, but I just used it as an opportunity to open up a bit to you and just, you know, try and give you a little bit of... A little bit of me, a little bit of vulnerability.
You're a good man. You're an honest man. 76 trombones? Yes. 76 guests? No. Explain.
I don't know what he's referencing. Carrie and Anthony, the wedding planner, are having a conversation. She's got a wedding list guest of 76 occupants. He says 75. It sounds better. A small wedding of 75 guests. 76 trombones, yes. 75 guests.
What?
What is it?
I mean, what is the world in which he's saying yes to 76 trombones? That is altogether too many. Even for a brass band.
It's such a strong instrument. I've never seen more than two in any configuration of any kind of band or orchestra in my life. 76? What would that sound be?
Boom. Utter madness. I mean, that line gets me every... It's just like... It's honestly... It's like a line that you would maybe improvise and then you'd be embarrassed by and be like, well, at least I can rest easy knowing they're never going to put that in. 76 trombones, yes. 75 surely, guests, no.
Surely he's referencing a musical or some cultural piece that we're just not aware of, right? Like, that's got to be the answer to this riddle.
No, absolutely not. It's I think it's one for the ages. Maybe one to go back to, actually. It could be a bit of fun to unpack.
76 trombones, the only useful application I could think of is to generate a sound so specific and powerful to communicate with alien craft. Like, we can't produce it from speakers. You have to assemble 76 trombonists to all bellow like a low C in unison, and that opens the doors, brings them out. It's like a doorbell for them.
Interesting that Anthony would have any sort of information or knowledge, or like they would bring it up in passing and then be like, oh, I've said too much. You know, he's shown his hand a touch to Charlotte and Carrie.
I could imagine him being an alien.
Or a conspiracy theorist of sorts. What is on the cards today, Tim?
A shower, I think, has got to be top of mind at the tail end of this. I don't know, meeting some people, having a chat to them about some things. You know how it goes. It's the way of the world, guy. We're all just out there drinking too much coffee, and then we're all hopped up on coffee from all our meetings, so then we've got to go get a beer with someone to wind down. Tell you what, yeah. It's just big liquid. You don't need it. If you don't drink anything, you'll actually be fine. It's just we get on the treadmill and then you can't get off. So my recommendation to everyone, stop drinking everything. You don't need them.
You're a smart guy. You're a handsome guy. You're also probably going to die quite young.
Yeah, I've got no illusions about that. Definitely going to die young. How about you, guy? Oh, it's nighttime for you, isn't it?
It is the evening, that is correct. I am going to go and meet a friend, Dan. You met him, Mr. Dan Fox.
We love Dan. Dan was a cool guy.
Dan was a very cool guy. We're going to have a bit of dinner, actually. We're going to talk about our lives, our feelings. It's called catching up. Read a flippin' book for once, Tim.
No, we'll try. I will try. Hey, can I say this as well? This is the, we don't usually do this on the podcast, but I saw a good film. Can I recommend it? It'll be maybe on like Netflix or something by the time this comes out. It's
no,
good.
You cannot. You cannot.
All right. Fair enough. Well, you'll never know, folks. Bye. See you next time.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? Like, he sort of feels me out. I feel him out. And we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.